Proverbs 15 and verse 17. And it says this: better is a dish of vegetables. I think it means better is a dinner of herbs, a dish of herbs, where love is, than a, King James says, stalled ox. What do you mean when you say a stalled ox? If you wanted to fatten an ox and you didn't want it to build a lot of muscle and have a lot of gristle and muscle in there, you just keep it in the stall, you know, and that's what they did to fatten them up and to keep the meat tender. And it was considered a delicacy, you know, when meat is real tender like that. So a stalled ox meant an ox that was didn't get around. It wasn't allowed to run out, and that you fed it in the stall. And therefore, it put on fat and it was tender. So better is a little dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened, as the New American Standard Version puts it, ox with hatred. A fattened ox with hatred, a stalled ox where there's hate. So you have a contrast, love and hate. Hate is not good for us. It's not good for me. It's not good for you. Think about it. If you're thinking of hate and you're feeling hatred and angry, is that good for you? Not good. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have to be angry at times, because, or that we don't have to hate at times. It's just that a perpetual thing where, and especially when there's supposed to be a meal, especially when there's supposed to be caring and concern, you don't want hate. That's not good. Hatred is upsetting to the digestive system. It is detrimental to your mind. It's not good. And yet, there are things that I hate. I hate evil, and you should hate evil. And the Bible tells us we're supposed to hate evil. Well, if you can't hate evil, what does that mean? You don't want to love evil. That's not good for you. So we have to hate evil. There's no doubt about that in our lives. Hating evil is right. But you don't want to have hatred around a table. You don't want to have hatred around a place where we're supposed to be eating and enjoying a meal. Our digestive system is supposed to be working. We don't want to have hatred there. So better is a dish of vegetables where there's love. You just have a little bit of vegetables. You don't have any meat. And, you know, meat was a good portion of most people's diet, and it should be today, at least protein of some form. I know there are people who are vegetarians, they don't eat meat, they can't digest meat, but I'll tell you what, it was considered a very good thing, and you do need your protein if you want your brain to work and you want your body to work well. Here's the New English translation: better a meal of vegetables where love is, where there is love, than a fattened ox where there is hatred. Now here's another one in Proverbs 17, verse 1. It's very similar to this. And it goes like this: better is a dry morsel, I'm reading from the King James, and quietness therewith, than a house full of sacrifices with strife. In other words, sacrifices with strife. A house full of, and some translations say good cheer. Let me read that in the New American Standard Version. Better a dry morsel with quietness. Now, when it says a dry morsel, you know, if you eat bread, I don't know about you, but if I get a piece of bread, I like to put something on it. I like to put butter on it or some kind of, honey or something, rather than just eating it dry. So eating it dry but it implies that if you don't have anything else, you're going to eat it dry. Better if it is to do it a dry morsel, where there's quietness, that is quietness and peace and gentleness and so on, than what? Than a house full of feasting and strife. Now, a lot of people have, you know, I'd just rather eat a piece of dry bread by myself where there's quiet. Quiet implies a certain amount of peace. Then a house full, you got a lot of people, they're all feasting, but so-and-so is angry with this one, somebody else is angry with that one, this person is upset with this one, and now former friends are now enemies and things like that. No, better. Now, you have the difference between hatred, and one says love, the other says quietness and peace. Hatred and perpetual anger are not good for you, and not good for me. However, love is good. Love is good, and we want to have a definition. What is the definition of love? Now, I want to take a little time to read this and expound chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. It's called the love chapter for a lot of people, but I think most people don't really understand it all, so I'm going to take a little time today because I think this is probably, since God is love, and this whole chapter is talking about agape kind of love, which you can have and I can have, and it defines what agape love is. So I want to do that with you today. I'm going to restart in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 13. Now, after Paul talks about all these gifts in chapter 12, the various kinds of gifts, spiritual gifts, then he talks about this. If I speak with the tongues, that is this spiritual gift of languages and tongues, that tongues of men, and even tongues of angels. There's a special language that angels have. If I could speak with them, you'd probably think I was brilliant if I could speak a bunch of different languages. You'd probably think I was brilliant if I could talk in a way that the angels would understand me. Okay? But if I spoke with the tongues of men and angels, but I do not have agape, I don't have it. I have become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. I'm just so much noise. Speaking with these various languages that where you don't have any real love, you've become just noise. Now he says, if I have, and it's my translation says, the gift of prophecy. If I have prophecy, that is, I can speak forth, I might even be able to foretell the future, and I know, now listen to this, I know all mysteries. Now, I want to tell you something, there are many mysteries in the Bible. There are many mysteries, I don't understand them, I don't know them, you don't know them, I don't know very many people that know them, and there are kinds of, you know, different opinions about some of them. If I knew all mysteries, and I had all knowledge, so I have prophecy, I can prophesy, forecast, foretell, I can know all these mysteries, and I can have all this knowledge, and on top of that, if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, I had so much faith I could say to a mountain, be removed, and I just had so much faith and belief in it that I could remove mountains from with it. But if I did not have agape love, I am nothing. You would think a person that had all this knowledge, that had this prophecy, that had all this, but he would be something, you know. You'd say, well, he's not nothing, she's not nothing, she has understands all mysteries, she has all this faith, how can she or he be nothing? But without love, without agape, you're nothing. Verse 3, if I give all my possessions to feed, meaning implied the poor, to feed people, to feed those that don't have it. Give all my possessions. I mean, talk about generous, not just part of my possessions. You know, people always talk about the poor and what we could do to help the poor. And here's a person going to give it all. If I gave everything I owned so that the poor